If you want to portray your message exactly the way your brand would say it, then use your brand to say it. If you want to use an influencer to say it, then you need to let that person shine through. Otherwise, your content won't work.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass.
Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan here, co-founder and CEO of The Juice. Excited to have you back and excited about today's conversation, all things influencer marketing with the VP of marketing, Tanya Elaine at Upfluence. We've previewed this conversation, just the two of us, and I'm like giddy to get to some of these topics. So excuse my excitement, excuse my rambling. I'm going to cut right to the chase. And Tanya, in your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and Upfluence.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Excited to be here to talk about not only influencer marketing, but content marketing and everything that, you know, goes around that. I think it's a huge topic right now. And I think we're going to see more and more trends around that. But before we get into it, I'm Tanya, as you mentioned. I'm the Vice President of Marketing at Upfluence, which is a B2B SaaS influencer marketing platform that helps brands, especially e-commerce brands and agencies, connect with influencers that are relevant to their audience, which is super key here, is, you know, tying it back to their audience as a brand and not just targeting any influencer or anyone that has an influence or a reach out there. So it's obviously tying it back to people who will be interested in your product and buying your product. So really focusing on using influencer marketing as an affiliate channel and not just to create buzz, but really to create content that is relevant for a brand to then sell their product, which ultimately I think is what every brand wants to do out there. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. I've been in marketing for over 16 years now. I don't like saying max, it kind of tells your age. But yeah, I've been in the industry for a while, seen a lot of trends come and go, seen a lot of things come and go, but exciting to talk about content marketing and influencer marketing and all of that.
That's awesome. I'm excited to talk about it as well. But before we do that, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. We always like to ask our guests, and you're in France, so I'm interested in this answer as well. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
As a true French person, I should say wine, and I am a big fan, not gonna lie. White wine is always my go-to, but I just actually came back from Japan. And so I've been actually all about matcha. And it's funny because I hated matcha before going to Japan. And of course, it's huge in their culture over there. And they have such good matcha that it actually turned me into it. So I've been drinking a lot of matcha lately. Yeah.
Love that. A refined matcha drinker. White wine also. Yeah, you can't go wrong over there. So I'm jealous of what you have access to. Well, let's dig into the influencer marketing world, the content marketing world, even those two alone. It feels like it's a bit of a Venn diagram of like influencer marketing, content marketing, user-generated content. Like content really feels like it's kind of this weird overlap between all of those. So maybe like, I know you previewed it a little bit when you talked about what Upfluence does, but where does influencer marketing kind of fit in the marketing stack, and how does it work alongside of content marketing, or is it in place of content marketing?
When we talk about content marketing, for me, content marketing is marketing, right? For me, marketing is content. Whether we're talking about influencer marketing, UGC, even referral marketing, things like reviews, for me, it's a piece of content, right? And it's the same for even a website. To me, it's content. It's how your brand is being viewed out there. So yeah, for me, marketing is content. It's not really separated. And we always talk about content marketing, but it should just be called marketing, really. And influencer marketing is one of those levers that you can create content with, right? Using people who already have an audience as a lever for you to reach new audiences or to reach your current audience in a different way. They're creating content that really resonate, which is why they have a following to begin with, but really resonate with a certain audience. And as a brand, being able to portray your brand message through these people that perhaps will not say it exactly as you want to say it or show it exactly the way you want to show it, but they'll do it in a way that's very genuine and very authentic to their audience, which goes a very long way. And that is one of the biggest things for influencer marketing is how do you stay relevant to your brand while allowing that authentic part of the influencer shine through so that it really targets the audience that loves that influencer and is following that influencer. So for me, yeah, influencer marketing is kind of a one of the many branches of content marketing for sure.
I love that. Content marketing, is music to my ears. I agree. I always say content's the oxygen for the marketing engine. Like it kind of has to go into everything for everything to run together. And I think you're right. Influencer marketing is a piece of that. I'm curious, you mentioned using their own brand voice versus, you know, the brand has their own brand voice, but it won't be authentic if the influencer doesn't use their own brand voice. Part of what's allowed them to grow an audience is their genuine authenticity, their own voice. How do you recommend brands kind of let loose of their own like brand standards when they're working with an influencer? Like where do you draw the line on like, okay, we're going to let them be authentic, but we also need it to be somewhat like it's clearly us. How do brands balance that?
Yeah. So not going to lie, it's a challenge for a lot of brands. And it's something that we are really militant about whenever someone does an influencer marketing campaign. So Upfluence at the core is a tool, a B2B SaaS that brands can use. But we also have an agency side to the company, and they do a lot of campaigns for brands that want to leverage influencer marketing, but perhaps don't have the resources or the time. And oftentimes they do butt heads on that question. You know, the brand wants a very strict sort of script and really for the influencer to follow that. And we are very, like I said, militant on telling them like, no, you need to let go of the reins a little bit. If you want to portray your message exactly the way your brand would say it, then use your brand to say it. If you want to use an influencer to say it, then you need to let that person shine through. Otherwise, your content won't work. And we'll talk a little bit to that a little bit later, but data is the core of everything that we do at Upfluence, but it's the core of everything that marketers do, right? We look at data, we try to understand the results, the key metrics, everything else. And, you know, we always tell them, this metrics that we shared with you from these influencers is from content that feels authentic to their audience. If you're not willing to let go of the reins and just let that person really portray your message the way that they would, the results are not going to be there. The engagement is not going to be there. The reach is not going to be there because the algorithms are made that whichever platform, whether you use Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, the more people view it and engage with it, the further the algorithm will bring that post. And so if you want to reach the maximum people, if you want to reach the maximum engagement and the maximum clicks on content to then sell your product, it has to feel authentic. If it feels scripted, it's not going to work. So I always bring it back to data and to metrics and saying, do you want the best results or not? And sometimes I tell them, listen, let's test it. Let's script one message, post it out there. Let's do another post with that same influencer, same audience, but let the influencer really shine through and the data will speak for itself because that audience, they follow that influencer because they trust that influencer. If the message feels like it's scripted or it feels too ad-like, they're not going to engage with it and they're not going to like it. And honestly, a lot of influencers nowadays will not allow that because it hurts their credibility and it hurts their following. And so we've had influencers say, listen, if you can't give up the reins, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. We're not going to collaborate together. And so very quickly, brands understand that they have to. It's always a bit of a challenge, but it's something that, you know, they have to be able to do. That's the only way influencer marketing will work for them. So yeah, it's a challenge, but it's most of the time, they kind of get it.
That's a great reminder. I think we're all aware of influencer marketing now. And there are still, at least in the B2B space that I'm closer to, you know, maybe some brands like tiptoeing into it or trying to figure it out, maybe haven't started it yet. What advice do you have for somebody who just wants to get started into influencer marketing?
So I think the first thing for me is know who your audience is. And I think that's, again, at the core of marketing is what you should be doing, no matter what type of marketing initiatives you're doing, is who is your customer? Who is your, you know, your target market? Who is your ideal customer profile? What does that person look like? And what is their biggest pain point? What is their biggest issue? What is their interest? And then from that, you can then build an influencer marketing strategy that targets these people specifically, because at the end of the day, an influencer that might look and feel like a great fit for your brand, when you deep dive into the data and you look at their audiences, it might not fit your brand. You know, we've had that a lot in like the beauty space where an influencer is beautiful. She wears a lot of makeup. She fits the brand image very well. But when you look at her audience, sometimes they'll have a very high audience of men. Well, if you want to sell beauty products to women, although she fits your brand, she might not fit your audience. And so really understanding who your audience is and where they are and who you want to target at the core will make everything for your, not only your influencer marketing, but your marketing as a whole work. So that's always the very first thing that we try to hone in on is like, who is your ICP? If we could target 100% one persona, who would it be? And then from that, what is their pain point or why do they search for your product? And craft your message around that. Because then you'll target the right people with the right message and it should work.
Yeah, that's very subtle, but I love that example you give of like, okay, you know your audience and the influencer may fit your audience, but what about the influencer's audience fitting your audience? It's like a secondary layer of ICP fit that I think you have to give some thought to. That's really savvy.
For sure, yeah. I mean, if you want the best results, for sure, you have to go one step further and understanding, is that person really the audience that I'm looking for?
Of course. That's great. Well, I want to switch the perspective a little bit from influencer marketing broadly to how you lead marketing at Upfluence. You mentioned Contents Corner, what you're doing. I assume you all are also doing some influencer marketing to influence influencers, which is very meta. But what else is going on in the Upfluence marketing world? How do you think about content? You mentioned kind of in everything at Upfluence, but what does marketing leadership look like for you at Upfluence?
Yeah. So for us, we're very much centered around understanding who our best customers are and then really targeting them where they are. And I mentioned that in influencer marketing, but it's true also for, you know, B2B companies. I think it's even harder for B2B companies to target their audience because it's a lot more niche, a lot more targeted. Oftentimes, a B2C company, for example, if I go back to the beauty sphere, I'm always going back to that because it's something that I've known for years. I worked at many brands like L'Oreal and Bioderma. So it's, you know, something that I've worked in for years. But when we look at content around that, it's easier to reach a wide variety of women or men if you work on beauty products for men, as opposed to, for example, where I'm at now, we're looking for a very small portion of an audience where it's like, we're looking for people like me, marketers in executive positions with a, you know, SaaS buying power. So the audience becomes much, much smaller. And also the customer's life or the customer journey becomes a lot longer in B2B SaaS. And so we have to be mindful that, you know, we're selling products that are a little bit more pricey than a lipstick or, well, some lipsticks. But even then, these can be purchases that are done quite quickly. When you go, you see it, you like it, you buy it, as opposed to a SaaS where you're doing a lot more research, trying to understand a lot more. And so the type of content you'll create needs to cater to that. And it needs to cater to each step of that journey. When someone is searching for a B2B SaaS, they're looking for something more around information, education, as opposed to when they're in the consideration phase where they want proof. They want reviews. They want case studies. They want to understand how it's worked for like-minded experts or companies. And when they're in the revenue or the conversion phase, then they're looking for other things. They're looking for more one-pagers and things that are very specific to their niche and their needs. And so making sure that you have content sort of every step of that journey is super, super important, especially I would say in B2B and SaaS companies.
I love the niche. I think sometimes like we who are just in B2B, we think like, oh, we've got a big target market, but it gets pretty focused pretty fast, I think, unless you do the work ahead of time. Your ICP will expand as large as you let it expand versus focusing on the right audience. And I've seen that happen a few times before.
And that's something often when I talk to people, you know, and they ask me, well, who is your ICP? It's everyone, right? It's all brands. And I'm like, in a certain world, yes, but we do have a very targeted ICP, which is like the ones that see the most value out of our tool, right? Because of course, every brand can use it. Everyone can do influencer marketing. But at the end of the day, will everyone see value and the ROI they want out of the tool? Maybe not. And so recentering around who benefits the most from our tool and really focusing on that niche, because at the end of the day, I think we all know we don't have unlimited resources, but whether it's people, budgets, constraints, time, we don't have unlimited resources. So really honing down on like, who is your main person? What do they want? What do they need? And really focusing all your efforts on that will yield a lot more than to go and reach to everyone and spend a lot of time or being too broad in your content as well. When you're trying to reach to everyone, well, your content kind of falls flat, right? Because you're not really talking to that person. You're talking to a wide variety of people that have a wide variety of needs. And so when they see it, they're like, man, it feels like a little bit, I don't want to say that, but AI generated content, which is a little bit broad and flat, as opposed to when you're really honing down, you're like, I know this person needs this specific things for this specific need and I can help there. Then they're like, well, yeah, that's me. I see myself in it. I know that's what I need. So I think there's also that to take into account for sure.
Content for everyone resonates with no one. Okay, well, you mentioned AI. So we can't have a podcast in 2024 without talking about AI, especially in the influencer space. So you've mentioned two things previously that I think are interesting. You've talked about data-driven content and education-driven content, and then obviously influencer marketing. Both of those, I feel like, maybe fight against the stream of AI. Like, it's really hard to replicate AI. It's really hard to replicate influencers, although maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But how are you using AI in your role? I'll stop there with that question. I've got follow-up questions on influencer marketing and AI as well.
But for me, AI is kind of a double type of initiative for marketers. So there's utilizing AI in your day-to-day as a marketer. And then there's also the whole aspect of people are using AI to find you nowadays. So there's like that double-edged sword in a certain sense that like using AI is amazing. I use it every day. I think it's something that we need to use in order to optimize our resources, optimize what we're doing, how we're doing it. I think it's also a great place, especially if we talk about AI tools like ChatGPT, for example, that are able to consolidate a lot of information very quickly in order to provide you with ideas, with insights, with data. But that's for me kind of where it ends. I think it's a great tool for sort of ideation and automations and helping on time and resources. But there still needs to be that human aspect that kind of reviews it and kind of looks at it and says, okay, what does that mean again for my audience? How does that work for my people? Like I said, I use AI in my daily life. For example, I'm like, I have an idea. Has this been done in the past? Or how can I flesh it out to make it into a real thing? Because, you know, sometimes ideas are just ideas and they're only great if they're able to be fleshed out and put out there. And so ideation for me is a huge thing where I like use ChatGPT as if it's like almost like my CEO pushing back on things. And I'll ask it, you know, I have this idea. Would it work? Why wouldn't it? Why would it? What kind of budget are you asking? What are some of the pushbacks potentially my CEO would say? And it's kind of like a great place to bounce idea off of and get insights that maybe I didn't think of, because it pulls from people who have probably either done it or done something similar. And it kind of pushes these ideas back to me. But at the end of the day, I'm the one that knows my audience. I'm the one that knows what is potentially something that would work or not work. You know, AI is great for idea throwing, but I would say once you were kind of ready to flesh it out and put it out there, that's where, you know, humans come in and we kind of do that. So for sure, I use it. I think also nowadays, all tools kind of have their own AI to like optimize things, like, for example, email, like send times and subject lines and things like that. And it's great ways to get, again, tons of ideas and tons of insights using ChatGPT to aggregate data and just feeding it a bunch of data points and being like, what are some of the trends you're seeing in this? And it's really about optimizing your time, I find, you know, being like, write 10 different copies for this for me. And then you pick the best one that you think will resonate, or you A/B test a couple of them. That's kind of how I use AI personally. But then there's also that full other side of like, people are also using AI to find me, right? We see it. People are using ChatGPT or Google AI as well to say, what are the top influencer marketing platforms out there? And so how do we stay relevant and keep on top of that list, right? Because we don't want to be the 50th tool down in that list. We want to be at least in the top three. I mean, number one would be best, but at least in the top three, even top five. So I think as AI is taking space in terms of like how people search for things, we need to stay relevant and be there. And I think content, whether it's influencer marketing, whether it's affiliate or collaborative marketing content, whether it's UGC, user generated content, I think ChatGPT or any other search AI tools nowadays, they're using content and data that they're finding online to make these decisions, right? And so making sure that your brand is visible through content and through UGC and through all these different things, because it's also using people's referrals of your brands as a way to rank you. So using that to our advantage, I think, is huge. PR is another type of content, which is more content distribution, whether it's PR or tools like The Juice, for example, that aggregate and distribute content. For sure, ChatGPT is looking at that. And I'm saying ChatGPT, but any AI search engine is looking at these sites and these different platforms in order to aggregate its lists. And so we need to be there for sure.
There are two awesome insights there that I want to highlight. One, we kept using the word optimize and optimization for ChatGPT or AI more broadly. And I think that's so true. I think in the early days of ChatGPT, when generative AI became widely available, there was a lot of fear that it was going to create for us, right? And thus take jobs. I think we've realized very quickly it's not quite capable of that yet, but it is capable as an operational efficiency to optimize everything. And I love the real life example you gave of objection handling. Like, why will the CEO not like this idea? Or you know, like, I think that is so smart. Like, even if the reasons aren't valid or what the CEO does eventually, you know, push back on, or whoever you're talking to push back on, it at least gets you on your toes and gets you anticipating the holes that people might poke in that. I'm going to steal that myself. I think that's really savvy. Perfect. It is such a good insight on you're thinking about how your audience is using AI. I think we all get obsessed with how we are using AI, that oftentimes as marketers, we forget how our audience is using AI. We've had this experience at The Juice when, again, generative AI first became broadly available. It's like, what is our audience doing with AI? Like, how does it change content consumption behavior, right? Obviously, attention spans keep getting shorter. So we use generative AI. The first thing we did is said, let's take every blog post, let's take every written piece of content on our platform, and let's give them the ability to summarize it into 60 seconds if they'd like, right? And so that's like, all right, yeah. So like marketers, again, we get really obsessed, and rightfully so, every individual, every human. I think it's human psychology. You think like, what are we doing? But for marketers specifically, whose goal is to build an audience, grow an audience, convert an audience, we need to stop and make sure we're thinking about how our audience is using AI.
For sure. I mean, if they're utilizing to find things, then if you're not there, you're losing out on that battle, right? And AI is not going anywhere. So we need to be smart about how we use it, but also how we leverage it. And I think we're going to see more and more of these AI tools pop out. And eventually they're going to have paid placements in order to stay alive and things like that. And so it's going to evolve into, well, much like the Google of this world, right? When Google first came out, it wasn't what it is today. Well, these other tools will also become, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them will become sort of these ultimate search engines. We're talking about AI, but TikTok has now become a huge source of search. And they actually just launched their search feature. So obviously they're seeing that trend happening. And I think YouTube is another huge search engine. And so I think content as a whole, when we talk about content, we often think of like blogs and like white papers and these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, video content, especially short form video content nowadays, is like exploding thanks to TikTok, obviously. But also Reels, and YouTube has Shorts now. And I think content is such a broad term, but it's so many different things that we need to think of. And yeah, I think it's just going to keep going. Content is not going anywhere, that's for sure. It's just shifting and it's changing the way that people are consuming it, but it's definitely going to be around for forever. So,
yeah. And you mentioned AI is not going anywhere. So speaking of that, what is AI doing in the influencer marketing space that's interesting?
So multiple things. Obviously, you know, more and more tools like Upfluence are using AI to make searching for influencers easier, outreaching to influencer easier. We actually have integrated ChatGPT into our tool. And so you can use ChatGPT search to do, or ChatGPT features to do a lot of your outreach for influencers. And so it can help you write emails for better outreach, make sure that influencers are reading and interested in your collaboration. So it will give you insights into like, is this a good email? Would it convert an influencer? What am I missing? So it's really making the outreach a lot easier, a lot faster. We also use AI in our search tool to provide you with better search and better results to your search as well. So when you're inputting keywords, we're actually, let's say to only have females, we're not only targeting people based on whether or not they mentioned they were male or female, but also looking at their posts overall and kind of doing some AI scanning and things like that. And so a lot of AI is being integrated into our tool. We have no choice. Most tools are now integrating. And so if we want to stay relevant, but also as people are using more and more AI, they're seeing the value in terms of time saving. And so if your tool doesn't offer all these time saving AI features, then you're kind of being left behind. So, you know, that's one thing. But also on the influencer side, more and more influencers are, well, not using AI, but we're seeing a trend in AI generated influencers, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But we're now seeing more and more AI that look like real people, but that are just 100% AI generated. And it's been a growing trend. Multiple influencers with millions and millions of followers are essentially not real. They're AI generated, AI created, and they're actually doing collaborations with huge brands, especially in fashion, where they're able to generate the piece of clothing onto the influencer as if it was a real person wearing it. And it's been a huge trend and it's going to continue going. But yeah, it's crazy. AI is everywhere now. So
that is wild. I can assure everybody who's listening or watching this, this is two humans. At least I think
I can speak real.
For myself. There are two of us having this conversation, but it's crazy. I mean, you have to think there's a round of regulation, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe this is the new normal and it's just going to continue to grow, but that'll be fascinating to watch it all unfold.
It's crazy to us, right? Influencers that are not real people and they're being followed by millions of people. But at the end of the day, a lot of social media is AI. If you look at filters, ultimately they're AI filters that kind of changes your appearance or changes what we're seeing. And so it's not something new. It's just, that's like the whole spectrum.
Evolution
when
of
you
it,
look
yeah.
at, yeah, when you look at AI, there's like little things and then there's like big things. But I think just social media marketing as a whole is shifting towards, you know, more and more AI and more of these AI generated things. And so whether it's filters or people, and I think with that, of course, will come more regulations, and we're seeing it everywhere, especially in Europe. I think Europe is one of the places where GDPR and everything else, they're becoming more and more strict in terms of at least disclosing to viewers, to audiences, to people, what they're seeing. Is it real? Is it AI? Is it enhanced? At the end of the day, even things like Photoshop and filters now have to be mentioned, because as it gets crazier and crazier, now they have apps that can generate haircuts for you so you can view your hair in like 18 different colors and a million different cuts to see before you go to the hairdressers what you would look like. And that's one small part of it. But as people are able to change very easily their appearance, it's important. And what they do, it's important to have at least that openness to say it is AI generated, or it is a filter, or it is not real. And so people can then understand what they're seeing. For sure, I think we'll see more and more of that happen. The crazy thing is that AI influencer, they're not hiding it. They're fully proud of it. You know, it's out there and everyone knows that it's an AI generated influencer or person, I should say. And yeah, so at least kudos to that. They're fully open about it and they're not lying, you know, so it's crazy.
If it works, it works.
Hey, we've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah. Well, I could geek out on this topic all day and maybe we'll have to have a follow-up episode sometime soon. But our last question we always like to end these conversations with: what is one unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to marketing?
That marketing is 100% revenue. I think for sure. For sure, we have to have data-driven decision and data-driven, you know, content and things like that. But marketing is not all about dollars. That's a sales thing. And I think we shifted, especially in the last 5 years, towards a revenue-based marketing. And I think we need to kind of go back to a balance where marketing is there to drive consideration, to drive awareness, to drive recognition. I think we've lost so much in terms of like brand recognition overall, because we're so focused on how many leads can I generate? How many of these are converting? How many of these are buying? Instead of just saying, if I create good, interesting content that drive awareness and that drive value, these people will come back and convert with time. But we've become so focused on what we call performance marketing that we've forgotten a little bit the other side of marketing, which is what it was at the core, is like, how do I make my brand visible out there and just bring value to my customers? And so I think we need to go back to that a little bit more.
Especially right now when so many brands are focused on performance marketing, if you invest in brand, you will stand out. You can go on offense while others are playing defense. Tanya, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about Upfluence, what's the best way to do that?
So if you want to connect with me, obviously LinkedIn, I think it's everyone's sort of professional platform of choice. So Tanya Alain, A-L-A-I-N, obviously a French last name. And then if you want to know more about Upfluence, also LinkedIn, we have obviously a brand account, or you can go on upfluence.com and you'll have all the information there.
Well, thank you so much for the conversation today. I learned a little bit, laughed a little bit, and was entertained by some of those AI influencers there. Thank you so much for joining us, for all of our listeners, to all of our watchers. Until next time, cheers.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.